here and zoom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of For the Most Part podcast. If you all understood the antics I just went on before we actually get this recording done, my head hurting, Fernando head hurting, Louise head was hurting, but she's unfortunately unable to join us on this call. Nonetheless, though, we have, as I said, Mr. Fernando Chiller on the Zoom.
Don't mind. Hi.
Yeah, I'm now telling them don't mind the setup, because obviously we're doing it virtual, but more surprises to come. He will be joining us on one of our live streams, so stay tuned for that. We're gonna talk to him. Yeah, we're gonna talk to him off the air, and you know, figure out what date, what time, all kind of thing. but I think, you know, what we've decided, what we wanted to talk about today was getting Fernando's perspective on the Dua Lipa levitating case, because we were talking before, you know, we started this particular recording, and he said he listened to the podcast episode with that, and you know what's really interesting is that I'm concerned about where this court case situation is gonna go. I don't know if you could just kind of break down for the people, because Adriel Bailey King and I, when we spoke about it, we broke down some of the basic stuff, some of the musicality, the borrowing the chords and musical tropes that typically belong to some of these groups, right? Yeah. But in this case, it's kind of different, not so?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, welcome again to the, you know, For the Most Part podcast. You know, welcome, Kevin, and I mean, who's gonna join us. But I nothing, I will just go away, we go over the punches and we move on.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, a lot of people would have been following that Dua Lipa case, or, you know, it's a big case, per se, with that song Levitating, and how it was similar, copyright infringement procedures were put against her from two groups, you know. Some of you weren't talking earlier, as you mentioned before, continuing the Outkast Rosa Parks song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sounded similar to that, but, you know, look like they have no problem with it. The main two groups is I think when I checked, was the Jamaican song, Article,
Song System. Yeah.
And then another disco group that had a song earlier on, a long time, in the 80s or somewhat, so, you know. So, you know, the contestant that, look, she stole the song from them, or stole the, but I mean, as you break it down further, the lyrics or the melody and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's a case that is well, it's in court, or they reach the court, and from there it have different routes they could go down.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. Again, they will need to break down the song and the songs that they compared it to. Right, to see, okay, if it is reasonable that yes, she did reasonably justified or reasonably proven that
yeah,
she did the song.
Yeah.
But there's certain steps towards that too.
Yeah.
Right? Now, all of the song, the chord progression and lyrics and melody and stuff, the melody and pitch, tempo, all them kind of stuff may be close or similar to the other two songs. That is not really what the court will look for. You
right.
know, they will look for that aspect of it, because their normal songs or whatever, it's like pitch, tempo the same, and you know, the melody kind of flow, because again, it's chords they're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And based upon those chords, a certain flow in your melody will form.
Mm.
You know, and it'll be close to what that song is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, saying that, right, as you said, it's about three things they have to identify in court, in order to say, okay, that like, yeah, she really took the song.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So one of these things is that they had a proof that, for example, it was passed on to her and her team, or her producer, or the producer, whoever it is, produced the song, right?
Yeah.
You had to prove that it was passed on from either Article Sound System or the other disco band. I forget the name of the band, but I'm just saying. So if they could prove that, look, that somebody from one of that band brought the song to yours, producers or the team or the managers or whatever the record label, and then you know, she recorded it or whatever, then they could say, okay, they have a proper case. Now she could, it could happen that way, and she may not have known that it came from somebody else. You know, these things just happen, you know. Depending on the team or the producer you're working with, you know, they would have gotten something and say, ah, this is, you know, you could have it. Listen to this now. They try and, you know, they pitch it to you, but you're not knowing that they took it from somebody else or they from somebody else. Or
right.
Right. So all these things, they prove that.
Yeah.
First, that's one of the things. But if you could prove that, look, yeah, that she got it from any one of these, and she took it, and she probably willingly or sometimes even unwillingly used it. The court wouldn't look at that aspect, you know, in that if she willingly or unwillingly, you know, they proven that it was passed on. Everyone. If we could prove that, yeah, then they have a I was talking earlier, they have a foot inside. The thing is, if they could prove
the
as you said, it was widely distributed.
Yeah.
Right? They prove that, okay, so Article Song and the other group, was their song easily accessible all over. It was one of the biggest songs on radio in the 80s or 2000. So it was real out there.
Mm.
It's still one of the biggest songs when you search it on internet or, you know, TV, YouTube, that it there.
Yeah.
You know it in your face, that okay, that you would have seen it also too, grow up, you know, and it's in your face. Once you can prove that. But if it is, we go and see, well, you know, it's there, but we searching and we say, are you talking Apple or any of your platforms and they're not there? Or even on YouTube.
You have a problem. You have a problem.
You then say, well, then, okay, well, all right, well, you know, it's an LED.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and then the other thing is it had to be so, the third thing is that it had to be so, given all those other two things too, that it had to be so similar.
Mm.
Everything so on point, similar chords, lyrics. You understand, it took the same lyrics she would have used, or even said she took out a different word and put in her next word, you know, then they prove it that this is really so very similar. That
right.
Like the song, the whole song, song by song. You understand, even when I mean, even the busy goods, and say, yeah, nah, she took that, she just changed her word, then you could say, well, yeah, they entitled to something or they have a case, you know, or doing the case, that is what the things they could prove. You know, so with that, if they could prove, you know, either all three or any one of the three, and depending on the case too,
right.
Then is the final thing is, look, what we going to do here? You could say, well, the court will say, okay, well, it was stolen. We prove it is stolen. So you have money to pay. Do you have money to push out to these people or whoever it is? Understand?
Yeah.
You know, give them the writing credits or whatever, producing credits or whatever, you had to think that. Or you could go down the road of saying, look, nothing here, challenge is not really worth it, I ain't seen nothing, after only three things that I explained here and proven, short that, out of the court, it didn't really match in, so all the cases is a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, they could always come back and appeal after if it's anything, I'm not too sure, but that's a phenomenon, American law, American systems, defense system.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so you could either be short, they could uphold the case and say, okay, well, yeah, give them the full stuff, or before it reached the court too, right? So you could settle out of court, then meet, everybody say, okay, what is the situation here?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you say, okay, because if you go in court, I time this, that, I busy, I have all this thing to do, I have time for court work, whatever, but then we work out something, we say, okay, I'm bringing into the royalties part of it, ownership part, whatever, we work out the agreement, and they pay to suit with that. You know, they settle out of court.
Which is kind of like, well, we can't say for sure, but with the Anselm Douglas situation, I would like to assume that it was a similar setup. Well, we all know who let the dogs out, Bahamian, and it was a whole thing. We would have covered this briefly in one of our sampling episodes. But what we never discussed was the nitty-gritty, what would have probably happened. And that's probably because the case itself, the contents of it, nobody really knows what happened.
No, well, you know, I want to back Anson Douglas and really talk about it, right, publicly, about the Riley case was going on, but after the case was stopped, you know, so, you know, so in that case, it could have been, as I say, my personal opinion, I feel he would have settled. I would have gotten some money and collect royalties on it. You know, is it that he's just collecting a percentage and still collecting a percentage of royalties for future use of the song? Or he might have just said, okay, give me a full payout and give up all his rights, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, so we don't know. We don't know what is the thing with it. You know, some artists might decide to say, or a smart artist or producers or whatever, songwriters might say, look, retain some ownership part of it, you know, and a percentage of royalties, so that for, depending on how big the song is, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they want to use it in a movie or some kind of thing, or a remix or some kind of thing, you know,
right.
You could see, yeah, they still have money to make from it. You know, when they pay all that money, still getting some money from it. Or next artist might say, look, I don't want to back that thing, I grew up on my rights to it, sign it off, you contract or whatever that you do, the agreement, and sign it off and take a big payment or lump sum payment, whatever it is that they all agree to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like any business is about contracts and agreements, and depending on what you want to give up, your rights, full rights, or retain some rights.
But not only that, I would also assume that, as we would have discussed, I think, before, is knowing where your song comes from, especially if you're going through the route of one of two things: you do a demo to give to an artist to do, or you receive a demo to right. So again, guys, that's part of it. You have to understand the music business, as Fernando say. There are so many different aspects that play such a critical role in how your career going and look for the rest of the world.
And as we touch on the demo, you see again, and a lot of artists out here, also to our songwriters, put their ideas down in hard format, right? They do the demo, right? Or they may not even do a demo. Sometimes the song written on a sheet and they send it forward to a producer and artist, right? And they leave it just like that without saying, look, if you see this song, you meet with the artist and you like the song, okay, you have 6 months, you know, to get back to me, right? A contract actually that's saying, look, if you like the song and you so want it, because the character is a producer, the character artist, and like, yeah, boy, I like the vibes like this, you know, and they say, yeah, I want to work with that. And you could tell them, okay, well, within 6 months, you can get back to me, this goes out to somebody else, a chopper up. A lot of artists putting out songwriters or producers putting out the beats, putting out their songs and lyrics or whatever, and leaving it there with all the contracts stating that, look, okay, if you don't want it, then I kept shoving it around to anyone else. Because if you come and show me interest and look, boy, I like this song you write here, boy, or I like this beat and the song, the lyrics you put in the demo, and you say, I want to work with that, then you have a right as a songwriter or the producer who carried it to the artist or whatever, and say, look, no problem, within 3-4 months, let it get back to me, a simple contract. I leave this with you within that time to do whatever production need and what we need to do to work on, and after that it goes this one, it goes back up, you know. And I put up a disclaimer saying that if anything that you end up with a production with our next person, our next company, whatever, that is use the song, you know, like same lyrics and same beat and everything,
right,
then you have all rights to sue or to bring our infringement proceedings against them, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? So that's a lot of things that's happening out here. You know, with young producers especially, and young songwriters, and they just leave it. And then they hear, boom, song out there, and you know, people listen to me, they don't want my song.
So what advice would you give in this instance? I know we always talk about contracts and that kind of thing. But we
but
let's just say you have contracts and stuff set up, and you have the case of Anson Douglas, where we would assume there was some level of copying that was done. We don't know if it was copied or if that was a demo that he gave to them, or whatever the case may be. But let's assume that that was a copy that these producers did. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is you as the artist sort of go forward with your proceedings, copyright proceedings, legal proceedings, especially with things you know that, look, wait now, this song is very much what I submitted to the person.
The money. Pass.
Yeah, you know, you had to go towards that. You know, you could bring up a case against them.
Yeah.
You know, to, and then what would have happened? You see, again, it goes back where artists, songwriters, producers have to keep proper records of who they submitted the things to, when, you understand, that kind of rights. Mm-hmm. You know, we lack that in our industry, especially for a number of upcoming artists and songwriters and producers.
Yeah.
Maybe even some of the big prominent ones, they may not say it like that because our industry is based on, yes, networking, but it's right. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you, everything cool, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of the older artists or bigger artists will also tell you that, look, they have their business model in such a way, everything is written, everything is tracked. You know, it's contract. It's about education too, as I always say. You know, a number of artists have to educate themselves about the business. You know about it, about, look, there's a way to go about doing these things. There's a structure in the business. You know, again, if you have a song, you have a contract you could give the artist or the thing to sign and say, look, song, so this is the case. I have one extra copy from Cut. Right, you know, exclusive songwriter producer contract, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So this is, I see again, is our next thing down here too, in that a lot of the we don't have a lot of provisions or info access for local contracts for our business. So a number of the things we use is from outside, right? And it wouldn't fit into
our
perspective, our jurisdiction. And sad to say, that is what is available to us, to our local people, right?
Exactly.
So we had to know how to operate. They had to know education one, you know, reach out to someone, right? Others in the business who may know more better, or maybe to say, look, I can take you only here, but talk to this person, and this person will be able. You might to take that to Lizab Calaparis. You know, the other guys also, like, my boy, I'm not familiar. His name is thing. Always popping up on those once in a while, contact. Might have other people, you know, if you're getting in contact with and say, look, you're with a guy and say, look, don't do that yet. Do this, do that, and then go forward. You know? And you see what happens when you start to put yourself in some other structure, right? There's enough lining up or aligning with others in the business who have structure and they want to work with you because they realize that, look, you know, your structure is similar to theirs. When you come to business, it's business. Yes, we in studio and we record, but when you come to business, here is song sheets, splits, everything organized. Or his manager or his thing will come talk and everybody meet. I mean, you know, this thing is such a thing in that.
I would say to answer to what you were going to say, in Trinidad, it's very easy for us to get ripped off by each other if we don't have our ducks in a row.
And it may not be sometimes in terms of the intent is to rip off, but
exactly.
The vibe is, but you intend me, or you intend me to record this, and people
exactly.
Need to come and start the flow.
Exactly.
And
the vibe does dictate the professional contract.
The professionalism, it is be like, nah, we good, we cool thing.
Yeah.
And then fame hit and money hit. Everybody, like, you know, that way enemy come. But once you have it put down beforehand, then it's much easier to work with, you know. So education in the business, and education about knowing how to structure the business, to know your rules in the industry, right? Because there are a number of people who want to do everything in the industry, but just can't do everything. A very few who could do, but there are some who just look. If your role is to be a music producer, then be a music producer. Then what are you as a music producer? An executive producer or creative producer? Right?
That's,
are you just filling beats, or are you financing? Are you just going to be supposed to say, okay, if they come to you, artists come to you, you finance the project?
And that's the thing. And as you think, we need to understand the rules. And this is something that that Advocate has said many times, especially on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know what things like producer and executive producer and the beat maker and they don't know.
Oh.
You don't know. I'm saying you, as in the people who sometimes click like on this video and watch. I can promise you that at least 10 in 20 of you cannot tell me what a producer actually is.
And that is our next role in itself. Music producer, music
audio
production.
Engineer. People think that the producer and the audio engineer is the same, and that's not the case.
No.
In Trinidad, we have that mixed up. Especially in Trinidad, we have that mixed up.
But you see, again, that's relative to our industry because with the advent of technology, right, you have a door on your fingertips. So you become producer, creative producer, and executive producer, music engineer, everything in one.
Exactly.
You're not
exactly.
You know, because of how we are in Trinidad, in the Caribbean, that kind of vibe. But when you realize outside there how music producers are, it's totally different. You get to know creative or executive. You get to know is it a post-production, pre-production? Is it, you know, what about organizing your time?
Demo engineers, it have all sorts of roles.
It's a whole heap of things. The music production side is one aspect of it. A lot of these places are telling you, come on, the music production, the music producer courses or production is beat maker courses. You're a creative producer, it's teaching you how to use that door. But when you go out there and reach the business aspect, they know, they don't know. I will give you my personal example. And a number of people right now, when I did my course as music producer, to go into a music production course. I thought that was it, right? So I made it beat. You're like, good, as a music producer. I just had to go, hey, hold on now, I shall sell that. Listen to that, and that is it. And you will be like, yeah, nice, or whoever. And that is it. Not like that.
Yeah.
So again, in the business on the whole, whether it's Duolipa or whatever it is, it's about education, contracts, and that kind of stuff. Education and contracts, and just having that business savvy, and then people who can handle on the team who can handle research and all. You know, because, for example, I look at probably somebody passed on the song, article probably passed on the song, or somebody in the group heard the song from a song system or whatever, and they tell her that, but it's like, you have an idea for a song, you know, thing. And They come up with an idea, do it over themselves. They didn't ever listen to the original article song system or the original disco song that contested. But they did their own thing and say, yeah, and she's like, wow, this is a really good thing. And they, you know, so it trusted individuals too, is research too, to say, you know, that yeah, people could say, check in and say, you know, again, we don't know the dynamics of what happened within the team, you know, whatever it is of that production, right? So, you know. And it could just be like, you know, just click with the beat, how the beat was, and that is what happened, you know?
Yep.
That is what happened, you know? Probably while you're doing the beat and singing it, somebody might say, hey, you find a song in like similar to their one, and then they might listen and say, like, look, not really, you know, look, this different, that different song, so yeah, it's simple, and this is look, let's go.
Yeah,
you know? So, you know, that is it. That is how it is for me. You know, as you mentioned, they said that Outkast, you know, probably again, when it was in the production stage of Levitating, realized that wait, now this song was like the beginning of Rosa Parks, Outkast song.
Right.
You know, and it's like,
and then they probably,
you know,
let's give them credit for it.
Let's be safe. Right? Let's call them, say, hey, you're doing this production, this, that, that. Listen to how it is, and then like, look, we don't want to interfere with all the same thing, is song two, credits, or thing, letting you all know. So, you know. And Outkast like, yeah, man, whatever, it's not our thing, blah. And they agree. And I said, so they probably thought, okay, that was the only song they would have interfered with or would have sung similar to, not knowing that would have been the other two. So, you know, that is the dynamics of this. Songs, there are a number of songs, and songs will always come about. Something similar to something 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. You know, there's so much noise they could work with and use, and so much melodies in the pocket. They had that will flow on those chords. So, but I don't think that is the aspect that the court will look for, is the lyrics wise and all those kind of stuff. The study the lyrics, how close it is to what it was before, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's basically with that dual case. And I say, go down the route of throw it out, but they say, look, or let's settle out of court. Is this how you settle out of court before you support? Or when you support, you lose the case and shall be. You know? monies or whatever, you know, and credits and that kind of stuff. So well, that's the two ways I see it going on. But there are three things that I need to prove once.
Yeah.
I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, I think we have, I want to save bits and pieces of this conversation again
for when we
do live stream. Obviously, Fernando will be in house and we'll be, you know, getting into it, because I would love to hear a few different perspectives. You know, you coming from the copyright side, and then Adriel coming from the music side, because it's such a deep rabbit hole, as I always say.
It is a rabbit hole.
Fernando, tell the people where they can find you. And I think we will wrap there today, guys. This was a good discussion. I always like when I talk to Fernando. Go ahead, Fernando.
Guys, you can find me. You can call me at 363-8204, call or WhatsApp, any artist, anybody, songwriter, whatever. I'll try to give as much information as best as possible. 363-8204. You can message me on Facebook under Levels Up Music Business, and on Instagram also too, Levels Up Music Business. It has been kind of slow these days, you know, but that's my problem. If once somebody reach out to me, I'll be able to tell you as best as possible where to go. Or what if I could address it here? If I can't, I'll say, look, you need to talk to XYZ, I could point you to who you could talk
to. Right,
for information.
Alright, so ladies and gents, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you, Fernando, for really breaking it down. And I mean, Fernando is the Bible on copyright, you know.
I went to the Bible, but to know enough information to say, look, but sometimes I may need to say other people that miss, you know, other people who think that they think they have, or think they know that they need to get straight more.
Exactly.
But you think about it, copyright also too is such a, we again our law different to the American, right? And it's such a it broad, but there are one or two things that on our end too that still need ironing out on our end. Copyright also too, and there are things that are very clear. Fabian Alfonso,
that's the man. Yeah, Fabian is a legend.
I usually link up with Fabian or and if especially on court side, Rico, you know, so, but yeah, it's not hard.
Awesome. Ladies and gents, as I said, that's it for this week's episode. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Fernando, thanks again. We're looking forward to that live stream thing, because we're going to be interacting and taking live questions
from the
viewers. So you all stay tuned for that. Like, share, comment, subscribe, and we will see y'all and we will hear y'all on the next episode. Peace out, guys.
Peace out. Bye-bye. Be safe.